Double M on the X. For my podcast on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network, I talked to Tim Benz about Hines Ward and James Harrison being among the Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalists for this year. Let's hear that. Tim, I want to talk about Hines Ward and James Harrison being semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Does either one have a chance?
I think that Hines has a chance. I don't think it's going to happen. I just think that the wide receiver position is too statistically dominated. But if you look, the weird thing is, if you look at the numbers, he's not as outlandishly out of the mix as some of the stats indicate.
No, he's in the all-time teens in a lot of categories.
Right.
That's not bad.
Right.
There are guys below him statistically in the Hall of Fame.
I think if you granularly drill it down and you see consistency and want to use consistency against him, I guess you can. But if you're going to do that, then it almost makes an argument for Harrison, who was dominant over a shorter period of time. You know what I mean? So like, if you're going to argue one in one way, you have to argue against the other guy in the same direction if you're going to do that.
And I am willing to do just that. Ward has 1,000 catches. He was a great blocker, although I think that's overrated in terms of that being a credential for the Hall of Fame. He was Super Bowl MVP, so he had the one big moment. What's he lacking? Why won't he make it? What will the voters hold against him?
I think it's a big play, eye-popping catch kind of highlights. I think, like you said, most people think of highlights of Hines Ward, and, you know, they think of him catching a wide open trick pass in the Super Bowl for his MVP. They think of him knocking players out with blocks. Like, you think of Lynn Swann, you think of Super Bowl X. You think of Jerry Rice, you think of all the Super Bowl catches. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he carries, I can think of some as a Steelers fan, but I don't know if John Q. Voter, who covers the Packers, thinks that way.
Tim, as someone who's covered the Steelers his whole life, I can't think of many. I mean, I think of him leaping into the end zone at the end of that pass from Antoine Randle L to win the Super Bowl against Seattle. But even that, like you said, he was wide open. It was an ordinary play.
Mark, you know what? I think the one thing that goes in Hines' favor is, much like it was for the Steelers of the 70s, if you're a really good team in a 10 to 15 year era and you were there for the breadth of that time and a lot of success is associated with your name, then you kind of tend to get elevated. There are Yankees in the Baseball Hall of Fame. There are Celtics in the Basketball
Hall. Well, yeah, but that gets reversed too, Tim, because I think some people, voters, might just feel there's enough Steelers in already.
Are there enough in yet from that team?
I don't know that they differentiate that closely.
Because you're saying, so that team is basically who's in now. Bettis, Troy, Fanica, Cower, and will be Ben. Is that too many?
No, that sounds about right, though. I mean, I'm not outraged that Hines, you know, probably won't get in. I won't be outraged if Harrison doesn't get in either. And Harrison was Defensive Player of the Year. He had that 100-yard interception return in the Super Bowl. So what's Harrison lacking with the voters?
Longevity of dominance, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. He played 14 years, but he was a scrub at the beginning and a scrub at the end. I'd say in the middle, like, he had a short prime, maybe 7 years.
So 2007 to 2011-ish, somewhere like 4 or 5 years.
Where he was really,
really,
really
good. Really,
yeah.
Good, yeah.
And then two more where he was, like, legit.
Yes.
Like, 4 or 5 where he was among the best defensive players in football.
That's about the range where I would put the spike of his career. But, you know, there are guys in the Hall of Fame who were only good for about that time, too. Well, especially at that position.
It begs the question, could the 100-yard interception return in the Super Bowl get Harrison in the Hall of Fame? Because that got Bill Mazeroski in the home run to win the 1960 World Series. That said, Mazeroski was the best fielding second baseman ever. I'm not sure we can attach Harrison to anything remotely like that.
But he still got in on a veterans committee. Like, you know, it might take sort of like a Donnie Shell kind of vote to get those two guys in.
Or that deal when Cower got in, and I'm not saying this is why Cower got in, but didn't they induct the equivalent of an extra class that year? You know, some kind of anniversary deal?
Yeah, they did do that, yeah. But I think part of that, too, was they realized they were having a backlog of players. Because, like, when you have 22 players on a team, if you're part of a good team, a lot of people are going to get in from that team. It's more than baseball, it's more than hockey, it's more than basketball. So, like, I think residue from success of the team trickles down to individuals to make the arguments all the stronger on their behalves. And I think Hines and Harrison are both very good examples of that.
Now, get back to Hines for a second. Andre Reed is in from Buffalo. He's a receiver. Ward has the same stats pretty much. It's amazing how similar they are. Does that mean Ward should be in or that Reed shouldn't? And what about the eye test? Because I saw both play. I think Reed was better.
I think,
not by a lot, but a little.
I think Reed was more dynamic. And I think
more of a playmaker.
Yeah, and Reed was a part of a team where the offense was the bigger story. But even when you get to team success, you could say, well, Andre Reed was in four Super Bowls in a row. All right, well, Hines got there in three of them and got to a couple AFC championships along the way before that, too.
Well, Hines won two.
And won two, and Reed didn't win any.
Yeah, you see, I think I'd rather vote for the guy who won two than the guy who lost four.
I'm one of these guys when it comes to Hall of Fame discussions where if I can't think of that team that was dominant in an era without that player, I lean to yes. I lean to the word fame in Hall of Fame. If I hear Hall of Fame, to me that means were you part of the fame of that great team?
Or right.
Can you tell the story of 10 years of football that you played without mentioning your name?
Are you immediately remembered?
And I think Ward and Harrison are both really remembered for those Steeler teams.
I think more by fans of the Steelers, though, than the general citizenry, don't you?
I don't know, Mark. I'll use the Buffalo Bills example as a counter to that. Like, I was not a Bills fan, but I can go through 8 or 9 names in the Bills, 10 names in the Bills, and I'm not leaving Andre Reed and Cornelius Bennett off any of those. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe Bennett's not a great example, but Bruce Smith, I think that you can go really deeply onto a lot of rosters and find players that have gotten to the Hall of Fame because they're on good teams that aren't as good as Ward and Harrison or as recognizable as Ward and Harrison.
I also hate when we match up stats like I'm doing right now with Ward and Reed. That's the way you get too many people in the Hall of Fame. I'm a big believer in eye test. I'm a big believer in big moments.
Well, Ward was big moments, even if he wasn't necessarily eye test, because eye test might say that he wasn't the most dynamic wide receiver or the most athletically gifted wide receiver, so he's got at least one. But, you know, again, if you drill down on the stats and you see who's gotten in and you see some of the players who are behind him in some of those stats, especially if you do the sliding rule of passing era football, he matches up. Like, there's Don Hudson and Biletnikoff and guys like that.
Don Hudson.
You know, like, I mean, but these are guys who are measuring sticks in their era for wide receivers. And he was part of the early boom of spreading out to passing stats, even if his team didn't do a ton of that.
Well, do you agree that voters don't care about Ward's blocking? Like, that when Ed Bouchette, well, I guess now it's Dale Lally, when he stands up at that meeting and campaigns for Ward and he brings up the blocking, that most of those voters just kind of roll their eyes and say, oh, that is so Pittsburgh.
Then they better not vote for Anquan Boldin either.
What do you mean?
Because that's part of the reason why he's a semifinalist.
Because of blocking?
Oh, yeah, he was a good blocker.
Yeah, okay.
That gets brought up a lot with him, too.
You know, the fact that I never heard that indicates that a lot of people probably never heard of it about Ward outside of Pittsburgh. And here's always been my attitude on Hines' blocking, which was great. Let's say in the best year Hines ever had blocking, it got the Steelers 70 extra yards. And that is probably a generous estimate. Who cares? That's chicken feed.
I think it's more an image thing, Mark.
No question.
You know, the image of who the Steelers are, what made the Steelers, he brought that defensive angle to the offensive side of the ball with Fanick and Bettis, who are also in. I think that's a big part of it. Toughness, you know, edge, grit, all that.
I'd give Harrison a slight edge over Ward. If I had to bet on one to make it, I'd bet Harrison, because Ward was never considered a very top wide receiver in his era. Harrison was a little closer to that on defense.
The counter to that is one thing that Hines has going for him that Harrison doesn't. The media liked Hines.
I didn't. I still don't.
National media loved Hines.
That's true. That's because he catered to the national media.
And Harrison didn't like the national or local media.
Harrison didn't like anybody. Didn't like anybody.
Didn't like me. I know that.
Didn't like me. I know that. Is Tomlin a lock to make the Hall of Fame someday?
Yeah, I think he is.
Do you think he should? Different question.
If Cowher's in, I guess he's got to be in.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure Bill should be in, but I'm glad he is.
Yeah, it's a strange trajectory that Tomlin is on. You don't usually hear a lot of arguments for coaches who peaked early, do you?
And he peaked real early.
He peaked real early.
I've said that the last 11 years, when he had a lot of resources and only won the 3 playoff games, that is a bigger critique of his career, a bigger negative than what's going on right now.
See, I'm thinking...
What's going on right now happens to every team and every coach sooner or later. But he wasted the last 11 years.
Is there a coach that can match what Tomlin did as far as being great early and that mediocre late and still be a Hall of Famer? I'm trying to go through my head of guys, and I'm sure people can find examples, but coaches who are rocket ships early and then really nothing all that much for the last 5 to 10 years of their career.
Dan Bylsma.
Different sport, but yes. But I don't know if Dan was a Hall of Famer.
Oh, Dan was more right place, right time than he was a great coach. That's me talking to Tim Benz on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. You can hear that at the Bet Rivers Podcast Network and where all your podcasts can be heard. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Mark, huge fan, love the show.
Because that's what you got to do.
Hey, Mark, big fan and all that.
I think you're on to something. Hey!
The X at 105.9.
Double M on the X. Here's a cliched topic, but Jerry Dulac mentioned it in his mailbag at the Post-Gazette website. How many more games would the Steelers have won had Trubisky stayed at quarterback? I don't know if they'd be in the playoff hunt, but I think they'd be 4-6, maybe 5-5, and 5-5 is in the playoff hunt. Is anybody out there ready to admit that Tom would just effed it up bad with signing Trubisky and drafting Pickett, because he didn't need to do both, with pulling Trubisky too early, which Trubisky still has the red ass about, of playing Pickett too early to try to save the season, which hasn't worked out that way at all. I think that even if you see Tomlin as a good coach, I think this has been just a cluster you-know-what of a season for him and because of him. I don't see how you can look at the job he did this year and think it's anything resembling good. Every decision to be made, Mike Tomlin has made it wrong. And you're too busy blaming Matt Canada because that's easy, but Tomlin has effed this season up. That said, had he made all the decisions right, I still don't think this is a very good football team, but that doesn't excuse him for making every decision wrong. And that horse manure he spewed about Deontay not getting the ball and why, because the other team is concentrating on him. That's just so much malarkey. He's coaching bad. He's signing stupid. This has been just an awful year for Mike Tomlin. No question about that. 412-333-WXDX. How about Japan upset Germany in the World Cup today? If the Axis had won World War II, that would be the final in every World Cup. We got the Penguins against Calgary tonight. A few tickets still available for what really is an occasion, the Thanksgiving Eve game in Pittsburgh. This is the 43rd one of those. The Penguins have always tried to schedule that. It's going to be a fun night. I really, really enjoy the game tonight. Looking forward to the Penguins, seeing the Geno pregame ceremony, seeing if Sid can continue his MVP-level play from the last three games, those three wins on the road where Sid amassed 10 points. Like I said, I think it's hilarious that Sid played one of the worst games of his career last Tuesday, being on the ice for all 5 goals against by the Maple Leafs. And then he had 10 points his next three games and still won NHL Player of the Week in a week where he played one of his worst games ever. And that is just so Sid. And that's accountability and that's leadership and taking things personally, not in the babified Michael Jordan way, but in a good motivational way. You can motivate yourself without being an immature prick like Michael Jordan almost always was and certainly came off as in that long documentary. We're also going to talk about the irony of Deontay Johnson having had his best games when Trubisky was the quarterback and then bitching at Trubisky at halftime of the Jets game and helping to get Trubisky benched. I really think if you shot up, let's say, Watt, Minka, Hayward, all the legit veterans that are also legit players, there are precious few of those, but you know the guys I'm talking about. If you shot them up with truth serum and asked if they would have rather seen Trubisky continue at quarterback at halftime of that Jets game, I think the answer would be yeah, and I think it might be unanimous. And then you got the notion that you can never bench Pickett after he takes the job, which I have promulgated, but, you know, look at New York Jets benching Zach Wilson, and the Dolphins have benched Tua, and the Patriots have benched Mac Jones. Seriously, I think Tom was just mangled this season. And I know you just don't want to admit that, but you don't have to admit it because it's so obviously true. Up next, we'll talk Steelers and a little World Cup, too, with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Mike DeCourcy next on 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Mark Madden.
Yes.
Your voice is like sweet nectar to my ears.
The last thing we need is a lot of loose talk.
I like it. I like it.
The X at 105.9.
Steelers are in trouble. The World Cup is in progress. Joining us now to talk about a little of both, the local Pittsburgh guy, you read him in the Sporting News, he is Mike DeCourcy. Mike, are the Steelers as bad as their 3-7 record? Is that an accurate reflection of who they are?
Yes and no. They certainly had the opportunity to put together more victories than they did, but they do have a habit of playing. There's the old thing about playing down to the competition. That's not what they do. They can't play up to the competition. They get somebody that's competent or maybe close to excellent, and they're not even in the ballpark. That was true on Sunday against Burrow. It was true in Philly. It was true against Buffalo. If they play somebody that's really good, they're lost. They don't have any answer to get back in. And that's not typical of Steelers football, especially on the defensive side, which is where those struggles are greatest. I mean, they were overwhelmed offensively defensively by all three of those offenses.
Yeah, and let's stay with the defense because it has three perennial All-Pros. The price tag, the payroll is $108 million. Why is it not better? Where is it failing itself?
Well, I think some of it's scheme. I don't think they're doing a good job with scheme at all, especially behind the front line. And also, I think that they're much too uncomplicated, too conservative. They don't do anything different. How often do you see them blitz? I mean, they don't blitz at all. And there have been games that cried out for them to send guys, and they wouldn't do it. They just figure out, oh, we'll get the four home, and if not, we'll work it behind them. Well, if that were working, okay, great. If you're stopping those third and nines, okay, terrific. But does it look like that to you, Mark? Is that what's happening? No. They send four, maybe three on some occasions. Somebody pops open against the zone or the man, mostly against a really meager zone, and there's another first down for the opposition. I think schematically they're as poor as they've been on that side of the ball for a long time, and a lot of people were frustrated with Keith Butler. But they were much better under him than they've been this year.
Did Tomlin make Pickett the starter too early?
Yes, they'll very strongly feel that. I was a believer that he should play if it was over. That if it got to the point where the Steelers were not a factor, then okay, great, get him some games. That's what happened with some other guys who started late in their rookie years. So they got a taste of it, but they didn't get in with the pressure to carry a team. And every quarterback carries a team to some extent if they're successful, to carry the team to victory, to the playoff, if not to the playoffs, at least to contention. And that's not what they decided to do. They bowed to the pressure, whether that was internal or external or both. They put him in at halftime of that Jets game, and they now are sitting on three wins, of which Mitch Trubisky presided over two of them.
Would they have a better record with Trubisky had he just stayed in there?
I think they would. I don't know how much better, but I think they would. Remember, that Jets game, they were poor in the first half, and then the second half they moved the ball. They did get a little spark, but then they lost the ball on a couple of interceptions. I mean, they lost the game on a couple of interceptions. They lost the ball as well, obviously. And those were on Kenny. They were both, a lot of people tried to say, well, it hit the receiver in the hand, so they should catch it. I'm sorry, if you have a tight end has to jump to the fullest extent of his reach and reach his arms to the fullest extent of his reach, and the ball tips off his fingers, that's not the guy got his hands on it. That's somebody trying to throw away the ball and didn't get it done.
Yeah, I think they would be 4-6, 5-5 with Trubisky. And, you know, that would keep him in the hunt a bit longer. I'm not sure they were ever going to be a playoff team. But Jerry Dulac has said and written that the locker room wanted Trubisky to keep playing. I know Trubisky feels hard done by how early he was taken out. Is it fair to say Tomlin's mangled the quarterback changeover?
Well, I think he made, I don't know if mangled's the right word, because I think he made an error there, and it could turn out to be significant depending on how Kenny handles this. My greatest fear when you put a rookie quarterback out there is that they're going to be broken. And what amazes me is the attitude, well, if he was going to break under this pressure, he'll break under that pressure. No, it's different. It's different for you as a rookie when you're less prepared to fail than it is later in your career. And we've seen scores, hundreds, if not thousands of NFL quarterbacks that were broken because they were put on the field too early. And so, no, that's not how life goes. That's not how football goes. I'm not saying he will break. I'm saying that was the risk that was taken. To this point, I will say that I think that he has retreated a little bit in terms of what he's willing to try because of the turnover problem.
Yes.
And maybe that's good because he's gaining an understanding of what he can't do, but eventually he has to turn that into an understanding of what he can do, what is possible to accomplish, and make some throws that he's not making now that are available. He's reticent now. And again, I'm not saying that's necessarily fatal for his career, but it has to be overcome. In time, if he doesn't overcome that reticence, he's never going to be a great quarterback.
We're talking to Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, here on the Mark Madden Show. Yeah, I'm not saying he's broken yet, but I'm saying that possibility exists. And I've not seen any improvement. And for a 24-year-old who played 52 games at Pitt, and was said to be NFL ready, that might be the most worrisome part, that he seems to be kind of stuck in the same gear.
Yeah, so for the first part, like, I never believe anybody's NFL ready. I don't think that exists out of college football.
I agree, but maybe him position. More than most.
Yeah, I'd say that. Well, but Henny's probably looked better than a lot of people, depending on the person. I mean, you got Zach Wilson still making a mess of it, and he's not, you know, he's now a quote veteran. And getting benched. Kenny hasn't played badly enough to get benched, so that's a plus. Has he improved? I think he's improved in the sense of, again, he knows what he can't do. But there is a very narrow line there for an NFL quarterback between what you can't do and what you can do, or even what you must do. There are certain throws that you have to be able to make that are risky, but that if you make them correctly, they succeed. Now, maybe, you know, even for Ben, you know, or for Peyton Manning or whoever, some of those throws are still going to fail, either be nearly intercepted or intercepted. There's no perfect quarterback, but you have to take that. You have to take that measured risk. And he's, over the last 2-3 games, he's not taking any. He's not taking any risks at all. Maybe with his legs on occasion, but he's not taking any risks on slightly covered throws.
What Steeler has been the most disappointing? Who's let them down the most?
That's an interesting question. I would say probably it would be the left tackle. I think
Dan Moore Jr.
Dan Moore Jr. I think that what he showed last year was some promise that he at least could be an effective NFL offensive lineman with progress. And that has not occurred. And I thought that Moore could, and again, he wasn't going to ever be an all-pro, but he could be an effective lineman, even if maybe eventually they had to move him to guard or to right tackle. But that's not happening at any level at this point. He's not playing at the NFL competent level. And I think that's a disappointment, and it shows that they need a significant upgrade on the offensive line somewhere, either in free agency or draft.
I think for them to get back to the playoffs, Mike, and I know people talk about quick fixes in the NFL, and they are possible, but I look at this team, I think the earliest they're even a playoff contender again is 2024.
Yeah, I can't say that because you don't know what they can do from the standpoint of free agency, from the standpoint of in the draft. Remember, they've got 2 second-rounders next year. The first rounder's shaping up to be more promising than it's been in a long time as things are going now. So you could get some difference makers in there. I think they need some offensive line help. I think they need another really good defensive lineman, and I feel bad that DeMarvin Leal has not been able to be out there to show some progress toward being that guy, and then maybe you could concentrate on the vacancies at corner and linebacker. So I'm not going to say they can't, because I've seen teams get good. I mean, the Jets, for instance, who thought that they would be a playoff contender this year? So we've seen teams get good in a hurry. They still do have those guys, those significant players, Deontay, now Pickens they've got for several years. They still have Cam signed and the two All-Pros signed. So there's still guys. It's going to be a hard slog because the division's gotten better, but I'm not going to rule it out.
And I know you're watching the World Cup, Mike, real quick, because you're up against it. There have been some crazy upsets. Can there be another one on Black Friday when the U.S. faces England? Remember 1950, right?
Yeah, you know me. I'm a canned person. I would never rule anything out. I mean, I never in a million years thought Saudi Arabia would beat Argentina. I did think Japan had a shot against Germany. And I even in a video for Sports Grid said that if I were in Vegas, I would have put some to win the group money on Japan, because I thought they were a great value. I think they were close to 15-1 at that. I would have put $20 on that in a second, because the reward was so great. So I did see that coming. Do I think they're going to beat England? No, I don't. I just don't think they score easily enough. And so a good result would be a tie. And even if it's 0-0, I think they should be dancing if they could pull that off. If they can keep England off the scoreboard in any way, shape, or form, I think that they move into the Iran game next Tuesday with a great shot to advance.
Yeah, I think they'll advance if all they have to do is beat Iran. But once you get into thinking about goal differential, that is so tough to deal with, and that's a young team to have to do that.
Right, and that's why I think that, I think that the drawing England, and, whether it's bunkering like they did against Germany in 2014, or whatever approach you need to take to get a draw against England, I think is huge. Because I think if they get to 5 points, I think they're going to be okay. I don't think England backs off against Wales. The third game bothers me in theory because England could be qualified already. But even if they were, think about it. Think about who they you know better than most who they put out if they pulled their whole starting lineup. Okay, now Jordan Henderson and Trent Alexander-Arnold and Grealish are playing, and they got a chance to play.
I mean, my God, Phil Foden can't even get a game.
Exactly. So I don't think that's a problem in terms of motivation. But whoever is on the field is gonna wanna beat Wales badly. So, and I think that England has a better shot of beating Wales badly than they do the U.S.
Mike, great stuff as always. Enjoy the World Cup. Enjoy football this weekend. We'll talk again real soon.
You too, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to all my friends in Pittsburgh.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's Mike DeCourcy. I'm Mark Madden. Well, that's it for guests. Well, I'm going to replay Mike Rupp's interview for the Hockey Night Show so I can leave early and go to the Penguin game. There's no point even me lying about that anymore, is it? By the way, I have to get this in there. I mentioned yesterday that it's hilarious that Fox is the network of the World Cup. One of their analysts is Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, the former Bengals receiver, because he just happens to like soccer. And people, I guess, know who he is. I mean, do they really anymore? But so Ochocinco was talking about Sadio Mane from Senegal, the striker who's hurt, the former Liverpudlian, and he calls him Sadio Mane. Not Marne, he mispronounces his name, Sadio Mane. And then today, I'm driving to studio and listen to ESPN Radio, and Mike Greenberg's talking about the World Cup, and he notes that Japan upset Germany. And he goes, is Germany supposed to be good? No, not at all, Greeny. They've only won the World Cup, four times. 412. And now I have to see how many times they did win the World Cup. 412-333-WXDX. Germany World Cup, how many? And it doesn't say, so how can, I'll tell you what's a nightmare online. If you get anything but Google to look stuff up, like Microsoft blog, I typed in Germany World Cup, how many? A score came up, Morocco nil, Croatia nil. Thanks, Microsoft, 105.90X.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
You live by the ass, you die by the ass.
Well, I wanted to see what your thoughts were on that subject.
Wait a minute. Prostitution's illegal?
The X at 105.9.
I'm tired. I want to go to the game. Let's make the rest of the show easy by getting a bunch of calls. The Slurs think we know that. No point in it. Well, we'd debate whether they would have been better. Keeping Trubisky in the lineup, I think they would have been, but still not good enough. I don't think Pickett's benefiting from playing right now. I think the only experience he's absorbing is bad experience, and I think that's confirmed by the fact, the undeniable, what we see, what the stats say, by the fact that he's not making progress. He's just not getting better. And if you can tell me where you think he's getting better, I'd be delighted to refute that because I don't see it. Penguins host Calgary tonight, the Thanksgiving Eve game. Going to honor Geno before the game. I think there's still a few tickets available, so get down there, get a ticket, get in early, and catch the Geno ceremony. I wonder if the kid will be involved again, Nikita. That'd be pretty cool if he were. We're talking about Thanksgiving menus. I had another Gobble-rito last night. That's two, the first time I've ever had two Gobble-ritos at Mad Max before Thanksgiving. Haven't had a Pilgrim yet, though. But, you know, somebody debated, I saw a debate on Twitter about pies. For Thanksgiving, there's really only one pie, pumpkin. Like I said at show's beginning, the menu for Thanksgiving is turkey, mashed, stuffing, gravy, and pumpkin pie. Anything else is ancillary, optional. Doesn't mean it's bad, just means it's not necessary. If you have the basics, like I just said, that's the Thanksgiving dinner you want to have. You hear about, like, green bean casserole. You hear apple pie, various pies. I like all kinds of pie, but pumpkin is the Thanksgiving pie. We can talk about your turkey bowl games. Does anybody out there still play in a turkey bowl? On this show and others like it, that's always a topic at Thanksgiving, the turkey bowl, the neighborhood football game. I got to be honest, I drive around my old neighborhood on Thanksgiving sometimes, the day after sometimes. I don't see any kids outside doing anything, let alone an organized turkey bowl football game. Where is there still a turkey bowl football game? Are there any at all still out there? Touch or tackle, what do you do? Do people get hurt? I hope so. That's part of the holiday. And again, when we talk about the World Cup in Qatar, where it shouldn't be because of the human rights violations, we should protest that. We should try to fix it. We shouldn't have that event there in the first place. But keep in mind, America's never very good at looking in the mirror. To wit, Thanksgiving is celebrating a time when we had dinner with Native Americans just before we robbed them of their entire country and killed them and raped them and put them on reservations and destroyed their culture. That's what we did. So should we be in Qatar? No. Are their human rights violations terrible? Yes, they are. But look in the mirror, America. Don't be afraid. Let's go to Jeff in the truck. Jeff, you're on the Mark Madden Show.
Good day, Mr. Madden. How are you?
I said good day.
Hey, first off, I agree with you 100% on the Thanksgiving dinner. That's the basics that you need for that, you know, none of the other stuff, you know?
Like anybody could, you know, make anything they want, like lasagna, prime rib, whatever, but it got to be turkey stuffing, mashed, gravy, and pumpkin pie, period.
Agreed. So you're asking about how many World Cups Germany has?
They won four. I looked it up. I got it right just by guessing because I am a soccer expert. The real football is what I call it.
Well, here's a good tip for when watching the games. Like it's universal for soccer. The number of stars on a team's jersey.
Yeah, I know that, bro. I know that. I just don't have a germ. Well, no, you're acting like I'm some rube who just fell off the turnip truck and is trying to adjust his sports talk to something he only watches every 4 years. That's every other show in town, not this one. I'm soccer and hockey first. Everything else can GFY. Thank you for the call, though. Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that if you looked at the kit and saw the number of stars, that meant how many World Cups. Did you know that on European club soccer jerseys, the number of stars in most cases indicates the number of European Cups won? European Championships, Champions League. Liverpool won 4 European Cups and then won twice its succession, the Champions League. So, ergo, 6 stars. I'm not sure if it's on our current kit, though. Not sure. 412-333-WXDX. Let me read these excerpts again from Jerry Dulac's mailbag. Kevin and Punksy wrote that Tomlin is, quote, causing Pickett to have to learn how to play the number one QB position while actually being responsible for stacking up wins. I find many problems with this scenario, unquote. Jerry says, me too, you're compromising what you believe in, winning a game no matter what, at the expense of developing your number one pick. Wrong method, wrong message to veterans. The whole season changed with his decision at halftime of the Jets game. And then Bill in Virginia writes, I feel if Trubisky or even Rudolph were playing all season, the Steelers would have 2, maybe 3 more wins. And Jerry says, I agree 100%, and so do a few players in that locker room. That's the phrase that pays right there. So do a few players in that locker room, unquote. In just a moment, we'll talk about the Ballad of Deontay Johnson. We want your calls about all things Thanksgiving, about the World Cup, about the Steelers, about what I'm about to talk about, Deontay kind of screwing himself, and about the Penguins' Thanksgiving night game. It's the Mark Madden Show at 105.9 The X.